Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week three of our sermon series called Being Christian During a Heated Election. And remember, the reason we're doing this series is not because I'm trying to stir up drama or because I'm trying to lose my job. No, the reason I'm doing this series is because I really do believe that this is the message we all desperately need to hear to help us as a country begin to thrive again instead of continuing down the same path that we're currently on. But again, let me be very clear. At no point during this series am I going to tell you who to vote for, what to think in regard to your politics. For me, that's between you and God. Hope you take it very, very seriously because it's a serious matter. It affects a whole lot of people. Instead, what I want to show you, regardless of what side you belong to, is how to live Christian or how not to get caught up in all the nastiness that our politics have become, only making things worse. So in turn, we can become the people who act as light in our country. We can become the people who show everyone a better way forward. So what we have learned so far using Micah 6:8 as our guide is this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Or to get a bit more specific, in week one we learned that as the people of God, we are called to be just. We're called to be the kind of people who don't just stand by and watch as the world goes to hell in a handbasket, but to be the kind of people who take a stand and fight for what we believe is right. That is in there, that's always going to be in there, and that's what we're all called to do. But what we also got into in the last couple of weeks is that justice is actually something we already seem to do pretty well as a country, at least in one sense. In that on both sides, what you're going to find if you go looking anywhere are people who passionately believe that what they believe is right or what they believe is just, that's what they're fighting for, right? They're doing that with their entire being. They think they're right. And yet the problem with that, as we also talked about, is in the midst of giving ourselves to being just, to being right, to doing what we think is right on God's behalf in this world, that has caused us to neglect the two other things that God requires of us, which are kindness and humbleness. And all because what justice without kindness and humbleness looks like in regard to this election is a country that split right down the middle, or a country that instead of continuing to work together despite our differences, which by the way is how it was designed to work in the first place, go back and look at it. So we have become a country that has now drawn a line in the sand and have gone to war with our fellow citizens, the result being the dumpster fire that you guys see playing right now. This is my opinion, right? So disagree with me on this. But I've been watching politics and been involved in this for a long time. I take it seriously. It's not getting better, right? What I see is it continues to get worse. The things continue to rise, which is an important thing that we need to name. And so that's why last week we got into how God is not only calling us to be just, to fight for what we believe is right, but he's also calling us to be kind. He's also calling us to treat people well, because what adding kindness to our justice does is it shows us how even when we disagree with someone on some significant issues, how we can still live together, how we can still get along, how we can still even take care of each other. Or just like in our marriages where we don't agree on a whole lot of things, can I get an amen? Amen. Right? You do not agree with your spouse on a whole lot of stuff, and some of that stuff is very, very important. And yet, what do? You work it out, you compromise, you do what you have to do so that everybody can thrive. Well, I think in the same way, that's the way we need to think about our relationships with people who think differently than we do. Or that's why, not only does God call us to fight for what is right, but he also calls us to be kind to one another as we try to work this stuff out together. Which then finally gets us to the last thing that God requires of us, which is humbleness. And to get into the kind of humbleness that I believe that God is calling us to live in the midst of this heated election, let me start by telling you about my experience of both Democrats and Republicans during this particular election. You guys ready for some of this? Right? I think you guys know exactly where I'm going on this. So, in the many conversations that I have had with people from both sides, both solicited and unsolicited, how many of you know people who you just talk to them about something and here it comes? Anybody? Yep, it happens all the time to me. So most of the time what I run into in those scenarios is not people who have a sense of humbleness regarding what they believe about their politics. No, what I find in those conversations are people who live with a kind of certainty and arrogance that seems to be absolutely unshakable. In that both sides are basically convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're the ones who are right, and even more than that, they're the ones who are on God's side. Which is a kind of certainty and arrogance that has gotten so bad in our country that now when people disagree with one another regarding the big political questions, what they assume about the people that disagree with them is not that they're well-intentioned people who, given the complexity of the issues, have simply and honestly gotten something wrong or just see the world differently. No, their assumption is that they're either stupid morons who need to pull their head out, or they're the most evil people on the planet. Right? In the conversations that I've had with people, we are so divided these days, there's no in between. It's either they're the stupidest people on the planet, or they're the most evil people that we've ever met, and they're going to destroy everything. Turn on the news, watch the news. That's what you're going to hear over and over again. Now, where we get that and why that happens is because there's this kind of certainty and arrogance where both sides really do believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're the ones who have it all figured out and that God is on their side. Or, out of curiosity, how many of you might have run into this type of behavior before? How many of you have done this behavior before? No, you don't have to raise your hand on that, right? But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are all prone to doing that in this day and age. It's the day that we live in. Okay, so now that you're starting to see how certainty and arrogance can lead us away from anything that resembles humbleness, what I want to do now is walk you through how, as Christians, I think we're being called to be way less certain and arrogant and a whole lot more humble when it comes to our political beliefs. But to do that, we first need to start. We're going to start with the personal and just talk about what it means to be human in a sense. And then we're going to get into what the Bible tells us about what we can actually know. So, in regards to your own personal experience, how many of you, when you think back through your life, can remember something that at one point you believed beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? No wavering, this is what I'm going to do. And then after some experience or maybe some education, you completely changed your mind. Anybody? How many of you were completely and so devoted to something in your life that in a sense you gave your life to it, and then when you got into it and found out what it really was, you began to question, you began to change your mind about so many things. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Nobody? No, you, I'm the only person who has this problem. Right. There you go, brother. There you go. So what that helps us to see about being human is we're really, really good at getting things wrong. Yeah. We're really, really good at getting things wrong. And at a base level, the reason we're really, really good at getting things wrong, besides this whole idea of sin, and that's a whole other can of worms, is because we live in a world that is actually way more complex than our limited minds can handle. Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, as human beings, we are all limited in what we can know. Or to give you a picture of this, this is the way I think about it. To a certain extent, you and I are basically like seven-year-olds trying to understand the complexity of college algebra. Now, sure, we can comprehend certain parts of it, we can see different things, and we get certain things. But what is also true is that no matter how hard we may try, at seven-year-old, unless you're a savant or something, you will never be able to understand it completely. And all because at that point in our lives, we just don't have the ability to understand that kind of complexity. Well, what I think that analogy puts into perspective is that's who we are. Whether you like it or not, that's who we are as limited human beings. We can't see the whole picture. We can only see what we see. And yet, here's the fun thing about all that. Even given that as human beings, we know we are limited in our capacity, we're also not very good at realizing just how much we don't know. We don't get how much we don't know. And to see this, I jump into this thing that's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Anybody heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? I got like one person in here. All right, well, I'm going to teach you today. How about that? So what the Dunning-Kruger effect is the cognitive bias, and we all have it. So it's not just for the people who got it wrong. We've all got it. Where people with limited knowledge or competence in a certain area overestimate their ability or knowledge in that area. In other words, what this effect shows us about ourselves is in those areas of life where we really don't know how things work, that doesn't stop us from thinking that we do know how things work. Even more than the experts, which is always fun to have those conversations with those people. To add to that in a similar way, humans also struggle with this thing called the overconfident effect, and it's also a cognitive bias. And what that research shows is in a whole lot of areas of life where we shouldn't expect to know anything because we've never done any research, we've never looked into it, that doesn't stop us from thinking we actually know better than most. It doesn't stop us. And yet, to really help you understand how powerful these cognitive biases are in our lives, I'll bet for most of you, when I started talking about this, what happened is your mind automatically went to a person or a group of people that you know who clearly have this problem. They clearly do not see things like you see them. And yet, here's the thing. I bet many of you never even considered that you might be the one who is being controlled by your cognitive bias, or that you might be the one who has overestimated your ability to know, because that's how powerful these cognitive biases actually are. So what that puts into perspective, what that means is, again, whether you like it or not, whether you're comfortable with it or not, not knowing completely and getting things wrong is a part of what it means to be human. It's not evil. It's not something that we should hate or demean in others. It's not something we should even hate in ourselves. It's something we should expect because it's a part of what it means to be human. You guys get that? I mean, really, it's a part of what it means to be human. What about cutting some people some slack on occasion on this thing? You know, you don't have it all figured out. Neither do they. All right, welcome to the human family. We're all doing what we can to make things better. But here's the thing. What takes all of that, in my mind, to the next level is when you go to Scripture and get into some of these verses that tell us what we can actually know. Because what we find as we turn to Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 is this, and you guys have heard me talk about this on occasion, it's just going to keep coming up. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. And you've got to hear that. Listen to it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. This is God speaking here. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And what I hear the prophet saying here is not only does God not think or work like us, which is significant to get. If you think you've got God all nailed down and figured out, you're wrong. You don't. That's how much higher God is than us. But it's also the case that God's thoughts are so far beyond us that the way that the ancients talked about it is it's the distances between how high the heavens are compared to the earth. Right? Now, in the ancient mindset, they only know the heavens go up to a certain place and all that stuff. But when we think about this in a modern context, when we think about just how high the heavens are above the earth, based on what science has discovered today about our universe, there's now evidence that even traveling at the speed of light, which we can't do, we're not even close to being able to do, it would take 13.4 billion years to get to the furthest galaxy that we're aware of. And to get a sense of just how big a billion is, because we don't get it. These are numbers that we don't actually get. We use them, but we don't get them. A million seconds equals 11 days, 13 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds. That's a million. A billion seconds equals 31 years and 8 months. Think about that difference. A million is 11 days, 13 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds. A billion seconds is 31 years and 8 months. And then you put that together with the 13.8 or whatever we just talked about. That is how high the heavens are above the earth. Or that is the distance between what we can see and know compared to our infinite God who knows all things. And what that puts into perspective for me is that you and I trying to comprehend the wisdom and the knowledge of God, right? Is not so much like a 7-year-old trying to understand algebra. No, it's more like a single-celled organism. An amoeba trying to understand quantum physics. Or what I think the prophet Isaiah is trying to teach us here is that even though as humans we like to think we know a whole lot of things with certainty, the truth is we're not near as smart as we think we are. Yep, your pastor just called you stupid. Right? I mean, this is basically what I'm saying. We are limited in what we can know, but this is something that we need to get. It's not a deficit. It's just who we are. But then to really take this to the next level, what we find the Apostle Paul telling us about what we can know on this side of heaven is this. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know even as I have been fully known. Now, the metaphor that Paul is using here to get at what we can actually know on this side of heaven is the best we can do as humans is like looking into a mirror dimly. But what you've got to know about ancient mirrors Is there not like the mirrors we have today where you can see very, very clearly? Or those mirrors. How many of you have those mirrors that zoom in on your face really tight and you feel horrible every time you look into it? Anybody? Why do we do it to ourselves? But we've got those mirrors that we look into. So mirrors today, you can see everything clearly. But here's the thing about ancient mirrors. They weren't like we have today. They weren't made out of glass and all that stuff. That's a modern technology. They took hammered out pieces of bronze, and then they would begin to polish it so you could see yourself, but you couldn't see yourself real clearly. This is what Paul is telling us about what we can know on this side of heaven. And even that, he mentions dimly. So it's even less than what we can see here in this reflection, right? Which is super, super important to get. Or the point that Paul is trying to make here is that on this side of heaven, that's all we get. That's all we can know until we get to the eternal life. And so, what I think all of that has to teach us about life in general, and more than life in general, about how we're supposed to be living in the midst of this heated election, is instead of being the kind of people who really do think that out of everyone on the planet, we are the ones who have it all figured out, maybe instead what we need to be doing is getting a whole lot more at being humble. Being humble when it comes to what we actually know. Or maybe instead of continuing to sit up there on our high horses, you know, looking down our noses at everyone else because we're the ones who got it all figured out, what the prophet Micah is trying to get us to see by telling us to walk humbly with our God is we might want to also keep in mind that there's more than a small chance that we could be wrong about so many things. And so for me, practically speaking, what that kind of humbleness can look like in the midst of this heated election is instead of continuing to yell and scream and even demonize those people we disagree with. That's the standard. That's what everybody's doing right now. That's why we're all mad. What we need to do is actually sit down and listen to those people to learn why they believe what they believe, because maybe, just maybe, they might see something that we don't see. Right? What's the risk in that? You have a conversation with someone you disagree with. You can walk away and still disagree with them, but you might have an opportunity to see something that you've never seen before. Right? You might have an opportunity to see something you've never seen before. Because, again, what the Lord requires of us is not just justice and kindness, but a whole lot of humbleness. As we learn not just to trust in ourselves and what we can know, we're really good at that, but to begin to trust in our God who is able to see and know all things. So, be just, be kind, be humble. Say it with me. Be just, be kind, be humble. One more time and act like you mean it. Be just, be kind, be humble. That is what I believe it looks like for us to be and act and live Christian during the midst of this heated election. That's how we go from being a part of the problem, which is not making things better, to being a part of the solution, to becoming the light that God is calling us to be, showing everyone a better way forward. I promise you guys, if you will live this during this election season, if you will take this seriously, not only will it change you and how you go about interacting with all of this stuff and watching stuff, it's going to turn your knobs way down, but it's also what's best for everyone involved. It really is, people. Be just, be kind, be humble, or keep doing the same thing and get the same results. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you this morning, and anytime we talk politics, it makes everybody squirm, and it's so important to us, God. We want what is right. We want things to be good in this country, and so we get fired up about it, which is good. But also, Lord, help us to see that how you call us to live is not just to fight for justice and be all about that. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do, but also in there, what makes us different is we actually choose kindness, or we choose to love those people, our enemies, who are not like us. And even more than that, Lord, as we fight for our justice, as we fight for what we think is right, instead of being the people who think we've got it all figured out, Lord, we keep in the back of our minds that we could have something wrong. And so we need to listen to others. We need to see if there's something that we've missed. So, Lord, it is my prayer that we all live this during this election season so that we cannot be a part of the problem anymore, but a part of the solution, the light that is showing everyone a better way forward. Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.